Learn how to teach your dog how to be a service dog.
And welcome to From Shelter Dog to Service Dog with Janice Wolf. And today we are so happy and proud to be broadcasting from Castle Marne in Denver, Colorado. What an awesome place this is. It is actually an old castle, first building in the area, and it's amazing and incredible staff. And Wispity Bunny Dog and I have been having so much fun here. And today's show is actually going to be broadcasting live from downtown Denver at the Castle Marne. So you guys check on our website. We'll give you the link so that you can stay here with your service dog. They have been amazing. So we're going to be talking a lot about different things that have come up in the last couple of weeks for us at MerlinsKids.org and UnitedCanineProfessionals.com. One of the things is we've rescued quite a few dogs from down in Georgia. And you know what happened to the devil when he went down to Georgia, but these dogs went down to Georgia and we almost lost a couple of them because people don't take care of their animals right. I don't know how many times we can say this, but people need to have some kind of consideration and really need to understand that these animals are not disposable. They're not it's not like throwing a piece of trash in the garbage can. You know, these are living creatures. And amazingly, all four of these dogs that we have rescued as of late, plus the fifth one who is with my good friend Junior McDaniel, who is my dog show handler in North Carolina, all of these dogs are the best dogs in the world. They're all hound mixes, and they're awesome. So why did somebody throw them away? Well, we can't fix stupid. And as my good friend Dennis Parker in Missouri always says, and sometimes you just can't slap it out of them. But the most important thing to do is to keep your dogs healthy, to understand why it is important for dogs to receive routine vaccinations. And I'm not a big proponent of vaccinate until the dog has autoimmune issues. But especially if you're in an area or a region of the country that has specific issues, you've got to do the right thing, especially with younger animals, and vaccinate them so that the dogs don't wind up getting some of these horrible diseases like parvo, which can kill dogs. Well, today, for your listening pleasure, we have our good friend Erin Moore, who is with United Canine Professionals in Georgia, outside in Atlanta. And Erin is going to be talking to us in a little while about why it's so important to vaccinate. And she's going to break your heart because there are some stories that you're not going to want to hear. And if you're listening with a young child who might understand and might be upset because there are going to be some stories that are a little bit unpleasant to hear, then, you know, you're definitely going to want to let those kids watch a video and something that you've approved on there. So the most important thing for you to do is to hang in there, to listen up and get ready to learn and understand why it's so, so important to vaccinate your dogs appropriately and also to make sure that you're giving them not just the best things in the world love-wise, but the best nutrition. Because if you can keep your dog strong and healthy, your dog will live much longer. For instance, as we travel, we've got our food that we use, our organic food that Wispity Bunny Dog and Wyatt and all my dogs and all our dogs at Merlin's Kids will eat. And we also, of course, travel with our NuVet vitamins, which, as you all know, are the best vitamin supplement in the world. And the NuVet, it's NUVET.com. They're called NuVet Plus Wafers for Dogs. And we talk about this. Boost your dog's immune system. Make sure your dog is strong and healthy and able to have, not be killed or not be harmed by some of these viruses and bacteria that are out there, and instead to have a natural immunity. Boost their own natural immune system so that they don't tend to get sick. So it's really, really important for everybody to do that. And you can tell them that you heard Janice Wolf and Merlin's Kids talking about the NuVet vitamins. Or you can tell them the code 86686, which will let them know that you heard it here on From Shelter Dog to Service Dog. So we are going to, without much more ado, be linked up with our guest for today. I know everybody loves her. It's Erin Moore, who is a straight-talking, sharp vet tech, who is also in the process of being certified in natural canine behavior rehabilitation through United Canine Professionals, and is also going through our training to be a cancer detection and service dog trainer. Very cool. Erin, hey, how are you today?
I am wonderful. How are you guys doing today?
I'll tell you, it was pretty cold here in Denver. There's not a whole lot of, there's a lot of altitude, but there's not a whole lot of atmosphere. We're definitely a little chilly, but it's absolutely gorgeous here. How's the weather down in Georgia? I don't even want to ask.
It's warming up nicely.
Well, that's good.
I think we're over the snow and ice, and we're headed into spring, and we all can't be more thrilled.
Yeah, I think this global warming is really, I don't know, now they've changed it miraculously to climate change. You know, I could use a little global warming right now. So we'll have to shush the dogs in the background. And but we've got dogs, and Erin, of course, is live from her house, which has a lot of dogs in it. You may occasionally hear a dog barking.
Yeah, I've got this three dogs, and the wind just blew our umbrella across the deck.
Wow. So the goal of this conversation is that Denver, Colorado, and Castle Marin is a much better choice than Atlanta, Georgia right now?
At the moment, yes, ma'am.
So, Erin, you know, we're going to definitely talk today about I want to talk first a little bit for a moment about general things with why we should vaccinate. And then in the second and third segments, we're going to go into some specific stories, some of the Merlin's kids dogs, and then go into a heartbreaking story of, you know, sometimes people who don't take care of dogs. So, Erin, what do you see when people don't vaccinate? What are the most common things, diseases, illnesses, ailments, that you see health-wise down in Georgia?
I would say the most common one is parvo, the parvo virus. If you don't vaccinate your dog against parvo, they typically end up breaking with it before they're about 2 years old. Generally between 4 months and 9 months is your typical.
So describe a little bit about what can happen, and then we'll go into it a little bit more in depth in the next segment. What can happen with parvo?
Parvo is essentially a virus that attacks your GI system, so there's lots of vomiting, there's lots of diarrhea. They feel really rotten, and they don't want to eat anything or drink, so you have to pretty much maintain their hydration levels with IV fluids, antibiotics, and anti-nausea medications, and you're basically just supporting them through the virus because, as everybody should know, there is no pill that kills the virus. So it can be deadly. And we've seen dogs that make it through it, and we've seen dogs that don't.
Wow. Well, fortunately, in the next segment, we're going to talk about our Merlin's kids dogs, and we just had one recently that we rescued, and Erin was a big part of that and saving this dog's life. So we're going to definitely talk about that in the next segment. But, you know, regionally, each place there's valley fever that's out in Arizona. Now, we don't get valley fever because, you know, we have snow and things are a little different, but there are different things in each region, so please check with your veterinarian to make sure that you're vaccinating appropriately for the location you live in. We will be right back. Do not leave us.
Share the amazing stories of shelter dogs whose lives are changed by changing others.
When it comes to health expenses, dog owners have it rough. Now, thanks to veterinarian and dermatologist Dr. Kristen Holm, your dog can be goo healthy. There's Doggy Goo to fight environmental pet allergies, Goo Gut Rescue for rescuing your dog's gut health, and Goo Silver, a broad-spectrum supplement for the special needs of your senior varsity dog. So visit HealthyGoo.com today or call 855-246-2426, and your dog can be healthy goo, healthy.
NuVet Plus, your pet's best friend. NuVet Plus is an immune system builder that is safe for all stages of your dog's life. Helps eliminate most issues, including allergies, scratching and itching, hot spots, arthritis and joint issues, chronic ear infections, tear staining, lack of energy, digestive issues, and so much more. All natural, manufactured in an FDA-registered human pharmaceutical lab here in the USA, using ingredients sourced in the USA. Nothing artificial, no sugars, wheat, corn, or dyes. Never heat-treated to help retain all the natural, rich ingredients. Comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee and is only pennies a day. Call us Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. 1-800-474-7044. That's 1-800-474-7044. And tell them you are referred by All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Or go online to www.nuvet.com. That's www.nuvet.com. Use order code 33955. Again, www.nuvet.com. Order code 33955. Put your pet on the path to good health.
Share the incredible process of shelter dogs whose lives are saved and are saving the lives of special needs children.
And welcome back to From Shelter Dog to Service Dog with Janice Wolf. And we're speaking with Erin Moore, and she can tell you a little bit more, but we're going to talk right now about Parvo. Because we had a Merlin's Kids dog that we rescued. We've got five or six down there right now who we have pulled in the last several months. And we've got a great lady named Stevie who we're going to have on here in the future who's going to be doing a little interview and explaining how we rehabilitate the dogs and how we can kind of figure out what to do with them and what their best job is. But today, Erin, you were very instrumental. And I want you to go into the details of what exactly happened when you found out we got this new dog that I pulled from the shelter down in Georgia, and you got a phone call to go pick him up, and tell us about what happened after you got that phone call.
We had a volunteer go get Denver from Clayton County Animal Control. He is a 90-pound boxer ridgeback bloodhound mix of some sort. And he came in a very happy-go-lucky dog, ate well, going to the bathroom normally. And then within about 24 to 48 hours, everything changed. He didn't really want to get up. When you came back there, he looked really sick. So we went ahead and tested him for Parvo, and he tested positive. He quit eating. He didn't want to do anything. So we immediately started him on IV fluids, antibiotics every 12 hours, stuff to help with nauseousness. And then within about 3 days, he started to turn around and he wanted to start eating again. We were able to switch him to oral medications. And then he actually just went home with the foster today, actually.
And we're so proud of him. Good boy.
But yeah, he pulled through very quickly. He was a lucky one.
And tell us, we don't want to talk about the unlucky ones yet, but tell us typically, why do you think that people don't vaccinate their dogs? Is it just that you can't fix stupid? Is it a money issue? Is it they don't understand that it's really that important? What do you see in your practice, Erin?
I think some of it is because they don't think it's important. I think some of it is a money issue. I think that people like to, they don't value their dogs as much as we do. They're just a dog to them. They live in the backyard. They don't come in the house. So they run down to the feed store and get a vaccine from them, or they just don't vaccinate them at all.
Now, what is the problem? I know what the answer is, but I want to make sure that our audience knows. Why is it a problem when you get vaccines at your local, you know, Walmart, Tractor Supply, or Agway? Why is it a problem that, you know, they're not going to a veterinarian? I know as a breeder why I wouldn't do it, and I'll say that later, but why do you think that is, Erin?
Vaccines are very funny little injections. You have to keep them at a certain temperature, I mean, up from storage to when you give them. If you have a vaccine out for longer than about 20 minutes, we typically throw it away. There's a very, very small window that your vaccine could not be at the correct temperature before they're just not, they're useless. So what, you know, when I get mine, they come straight from the manufacturer, they're in an ice chest, they're overnighted to me, and then they go right in the freezer or the refrigerator. At the seed store, they don't know that. So they could be delivered on a Saturday after they close, they sit out in a box until Monday, and then they go in the refrigerator. Well, by that time, they're all pretty useless.
Right, and the other problem is, and listen, I'm a breeder, and I've seen a lot of people I know who do their own dew claws and vaccinate their own dogs. And is it a problem? No, but like what Aaron said, you just don't know how that vaccine was stored and even if the manufacturer had any issues with it, because you won't know because you're not a veterinarian. Now, vets have licenses. So if a vet gets a bad batch of vaccine, the vet isn't going to use it. But you think your local, you know, Agway or wherever, not that I mean to knock Agway because I love Agway and Tractor Supply, but their people don't understand exactly what Aaron's saying. And I've seen breeders who vaccinate their own dogs. I don't even include that. If somebody says to me, oh, yeah, I did two series of vaccines on the dog, I don't count it as if they have, because I can't guarantee that somebody did that. A veterinarian has a license. And this is, you know, I'm all for saving money and all, but when you have a vet, and the vet is, you know, has their four-year education and their residency and everything else, plus a license on the line, they are not going to give your dog a bad batch of vaccine. They are going to give the dog the best. And like Aaron said, they're going to throw it away if it's not good and if anything doesn't look right. The other thing is, you don't even know for sure. If I tell you, yes, I vaccinated these six horses, how do you know? I mean, if those vaccines are $100, how do you know I really did it? I can show you a label. Doesn't mean that I gave it to that animal. But with a veterinarian, you know that that happened. So Aaron, regarding vaccinations, and we hear a lot about not over-vaccinating, but have you seen, like, let's say where you have a dog and you know the dog had a parvo shot because everybody else in the whole place is sick and the one or two dogs don't get sick. Is that pretty obvious, like if they've got a vaccine when you have an outbreak of something going on?
It is. Like my dogs or mine and Dr. Ray's dogs who run around the clinic all day long, they've come in contact with all of these dogs, and they've never gotten sick. But they've all been vaccinated appropriately.
So you're a fan of vaccines, I'm sure, as I'm on.
Well, I think you should vaccinate accordingly. I don't think everybody should vaccinate for everything, but I do think you should vaccinate for what your dogs would come in contact with. And I always tell people when they're always like, oh, we're over-vaccinating our dogs. I have a Norwegian Elkhound who's been vaccinated every year of his life. He's 8 years old. I actually ran tires on him last year just to see. And his distemper titer and his parvo titer were not high enough for us to conclusively say that he didn't need to be revaccinated.
Wow. And it does depend a lot on the breed, the size, the type of dog. And certainly you don't want to over-vaccinate, but, you know, when you get a rescue dog, it's always a tough thing, I know, because you never know what was done before. And certainly I've seen, we had one dog, really cute poodle, a standard poodle that we were so happy we... It was a paid rescue. We had to buy him from the people. And he was vaccinated by the first rescue and the second rescue and wound up coming up with an autoimmune disease. And, of course, you know, at that point, you know, with an autoimmune disease, we couldn't use him as a service dog anymore. We dumped a lot of money into this dog. And he is okay, but he will never be a service dog. So, yes, you don't want to over-vaccinate, but you have to think about, especially Georgia, Texas, West Virginia, certain areas in, you know, in the deep South, Louisiana. If you don't vaccinate, you're like, you're playing with fire. I mean, it's really not a great, you know, risk, and it's not really very expensive. And at least for rabies and some of the others, you can go to a local clinic. A lot of places have clinics where, you know, people can go in and they can get a low cost. you know, maybe, you know, $15 or $20, and they get all their shots. Some places even include it with the spay and neuter. So when you get your puppy spayed and neutered, get the vaccines as well. And we heard the happy story about our dog from Merlin's kids, who Erin was able to save his life. But she's going to come back after this next break here, and she's going to tell us some that weren't that lucky. So please stay tuned. From Shelter Dog to Service Dog returns in just a moment.
Learn how to teach your dog how to be a service dog.
Attention all pet lovers. Do you love your furry pet? Well, I want to introduce to you Paws and Silk, the first all-natural silk-filled pet bedding and apparel line that helps improve your pet's overall health and wellness. Paws and Silk is made using luxurious long-stranded silk and all-natural breathable cotton. Each product will help keep your pet cool and comfortable all year long. Paws and Silk pet beds and coats will also work as a barrier against dust mites and other allergens. Not only are they fashionable, but they also don't take on your pet's odor. Better yet, they're even machine washable. So, folks, here's what I want you to do. Visit Paws and Silk website at pawsandsilk.com to learn more about Paws and Silk and their incredible products. That's PAWSNSILK.com. You can buy directly from the site, and they even ship all over North America. How easy is that? For more information, go to pawsandsilk.com or call their toll-free number, 877-678-7455.
Share the incredible process of shelter dogs whose lives are saved and are saving the lives of special needs children.
And welcome back to From Shelter Dog to Service Dog with Janice Wolf. Well, we're going to continue on with our guest today, Erin Moore from Georgia, who's going to tell us a little, and you can definitely plug your clinic, Erin, because you guys are doing great work down there, working with the rescue community and trying to get these poor dogs who are dumped by their horrible, rotten, just selfish owners. I'm sorry to be so bold on that, but I don't care because I'm tired of dogs dying, and I know you are too. Why don't you tell us, Erin, give us a couple of stories of dogs who weren't so lucky, especially puppies.
Well, I had two last week, actually. Well, three. It was a really bad week for us. We had one little dog that came in straight from the shelter. I was at the clinic until about 7:30, 8 o'clock, getting her IV catheter in, fluids, everything. She actually passed away before we made it to work the next day. She was about a five-month-old little pit bull mix. She had parvo. We had Travis, who was a little dachshund mix, who we fought with him for about 3 or 4 days. He had some other stuff going on, but the main concern with him was parvo, and we ended up electing to let him go as well. Because he couldn't fight us anymore. And then we had a little dachshund named Miriam that ended up with parvo and pneumonia. And when you end up with two different things like that, and that's what they typically come out of the shelters with, is an upper respiratory infection on top of parvo, some of their little bodies just can't fight it. And we weren't able to save her either. It was a really rough week for us at the clinic.
Wow.
And it happens a lot. I would say your older dogs, we see more of our older dogs pass away than we do younger ones. I think the younger ones become clinical much faster than your older ones that have a little bit stronger immune system. So we can typically start their treatment faster than we do the older guys. But we've seen, I think I ran the numbers last week, we've seen 35 parvo cases since the first of the year.
Wow. And how many have you lost versus how many have made it?
Of those 35 dogs, I'd probably say we've lost six.
Well, and did you notice anything with the six that you did lose? Have you noticed anything particular that might be related to that?
No, unfortunately, like we always tell people when we're dealing with parvo, is I've seen dogs that you would think were going to die live, and I've seen dogs that we would have swore were going to live die. It really does just depend on their immune system and how their little bodies handle it. It's kind of like how the flu will kill some people but not others. And, you know, Travis and Miriam were both really young. They were both about 12 weeks old. Heather was about 5 weeks. And then the other ones were older ones. They were about 12 months to 18 months old.
Wow.
So it's kind of across the board.
Do you see that it's more of an issue, trying to deal with dogs who are a little bit younger?
Actually, I prefer them younger.
Really?
Yeah, because when they're younger, their little immune systems are really weak. And so when they end up with parvo and they become symptomatic, I can generally catch it at day, like, two. Whereas my older dogs, who have a stronger immune system, will end up breaking and getting sick on day, like, seven or eight. So I'm already 8 days behind the eight ball.
Ah, I see what you're saying. So you can actually pick it up quicker depending on the age of the puppy. But do you tend to lose more of them older or younger?
Older.
So the ones who are older, you typically are losing quicker.
Mm-hmm. And I lose them fast. Like, we'll get, Brasco is one of the major ones that I remember off the top of my head. He came in on a Wednesday. He was eating and drinking. The prisoners at Clayton County had fed him like a bunch of peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. They said he was vomiting, and we were like, well, I wonder why. With 12 peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, I'm not surprised. 24 hours later, he was laid out and had parvo, and 24 hours after that, he was dead. It was the most bizarre thing I've ever seen in my life, and he's not the only one. We've gotten probably four or five in the past year that have done the same thing, all older dogs.
So in other words, what you're saying is that, it doesn't really affect it, the survival, other than the early diagnosis. Now, what are the chances that any of these dogs might have possibly, if they had been vaccinated, what are the chances that they could have gotten parvo? Like, in other words, if you have the vaccination, is it pretty much 100% chance that you won't get it, or is it still not as quite that effective?
I've never personally seen a dog fully vaccinated not get parvo. I have seen one case of an 18-month-old Great Dane that was actually client-owned. They said that she had had a couple of puppy vaccines, but they couldn't tell me when or where. And she and her brother both died from parvo at 9 months old.
Wow. So, again, you're not 100% sure that the vaccinations were done, and it might not have been a series of three, and it might have been the wrong one. I have a question on that. How come, and I know the answer, but I really like to hear what the common belief is. How can a 4-pound Chihuahua need the same vaccination that a 180-pound Great Dane needs? How does that not make sense, where you give the Chihuahua a much smaller dose than the...
Because you're still wanting to trigger the immune system the same way. Their immune systems are based on size of it. They're comparable to the size of the animal, and the amount of antigens and antibodies in the vaccine is specially made to boost it at a certain point. And if you only give them half of the dose of the vaccine, you're only going to give them half the amount that is needed to boost their immune system.
So you don't need to double up on a Great Dane versus a little 4-pound Chihuahua, even though there's like 30 times difference or 40 times difference in their weight?
No.
Wow. And I've heard that. There's
always studies going on. And as soon as somebody figures something out, if they figure out something is supposed to do that way, then they'll change the vaccines accordingly. But they haven't yet.
All right. I have another question for you, Erin. So you can be a little graphic. How does a parvo dog die? Explain kind of what it would go through if it were a human. Like, what are the symptoms? And then how does it exactly die?
So the virus sits up in their GI system, so it basically attacks the lining of their intestinal tract, and sometimes their stomach, but mostly their intestinal tract. So you get a lot of bloody diarrhea, to the point where it's basically like water and straight blood, and then sometimes you'll see them actually suffering the lining of their intestinal tract. And when that starts to happen, you know you're in trouble. Most of the time, they end up septic. They end up their bodies shut down because they can't fight whatever's going on anymore. And they basically just, they bleed out from the diarrhea and the blood in the stool, and their bodies just shut down because they can't fight it anymore.
So it's not
and then
death
if you have, like,
would...
a dog...
No, as I said, it's not a death that we would ever want an animal to go through. Maybe
the
horrible terrorists, maybe we'd wish that on them, but it doesn't sound like it's something that and you know, people, it's so easy. All you've got to do is vaccinate your dogs, and you'll prevent the dogs from ever having to go through this. You know, and that's one of the things we unfortunately see a lot in the rescue dogs we get, you know, from down south and from some of the other areas. People, vaccinate your dogs, okay? We will be right back for our fourth segment of From Shelter Dog to Service Dog. Stay tuned.
Learn how to teach your dog how to be a service dog.
Does your dog have muddy, dirty paws? Well, here's your answer. The Paw Wash cleans dog's paws fast and easy. Just insert your dog's paw and leg into the device and pump up and down. The Paw Wash's unique hourglass design creates a suction of power that pulls that dirt, mud, sand, or salt off the paw and leg, and it stays in the device. You can clean all four paws in a little over a minute with just one fill. For retail or online sales, go to www.thepawwash.com. That's www.thepawwash.com.
As a dog owner, you know that dogs can eat just about anything. But when food becomes a health troublemaker, or your animal has been on antibiotics or heavy meds, or GI issues set in, your animal's gut may be out of balance and needs Goo Gut Rescue. Goo Gut Rescue is 100% natural and veterinarian prebiotic and probiotic formulated to rescue your animal's gut from bad bug dominance. Remember, your dog's total health begins with gut health. Don't delay. Visit GooGutRescue.com.
Share the amazing stories of shelter dogs whose lives are changed by changing others.
And welcome back to From Shelter Dog to Service Dog with Janice Wolf. Well, we're talking about some pretty heinous things here today, and we're talking with Erin Moore, who is explaining to us how your dog can be protected and what happens if you don't protect your dog. Very, very important. Now, Erin, I have a question for you regarding future immune issues. Typically, once somebody goes through something, they tend to have a little bit of a weakness towards it or a sensitivity. Does a parvo dog, once it has been basically cured and it's kind of like our boy who we've got from Roland's Kids, and we'll have him posted up on our website as well as on our Facebook page, merlinskids.org, or Merlin's Kid. Make sure you like us on Facebook, and you can see the wonderful things that we're doing. Once a dog has specifically parvo, does the dog live pretty much a normal life? Is this something that, you know, people need to worry about, adopting a dog who's had parvo?
No, once we clear the virus, at times you might get a little bit of a smaller dog. Sometimes it can stunt the growth a little bit, depending on how serious the virus was. But no, typically you'll see no residual effects, and we always joke about it at the clinics because they make the best blood donors for the little parvo dogs that actually need blood transfusions because they already have massive antibodies against parvo.
Ah, that's a great thing. So in other words, what you're saying is because the dog has already had the virus, it makes a great blood donor because now that dog's automatically giving very rich antibiotic-rich blood to the other dog. That's an interesting thing that most people wouldn't have thought of, and I certainly never thought of that. That's great. So can you tell us a little bit about the individual progress right now? We had of some of our dogs. I know they're out with Stevie right now, but some of our dogs like Samuel and Monty and the newer ones that we've got in Denver and this whole group. Can you give us a little bit of an update for those people who have been following them on our website and on Facebook?
Denver actually went to Stevie's today. He left the clinic with in good health. Harper left about a week and a half ago. She has a slight upper respiratory infection, but she is totally over that at the moment and doing really well and loves Stevie's children. Stevie has two children. One is 3 and one is 5, I think. Loves them. Samuel and Clifford, was what they call him, love Stevie's children and are doing really well down there. Stevie lives on about 6 acres, I believe, and so they get a lot of outside time, a lot of exercise, a lot of personal contact because she keeps a very small amount of dogs. They're wonderful. They're all very large, and they're all very good dogs.
And these are all dogs that we at Merlin's Kids rescued from shelters around the country. Mostly these guys are from Georgia right now, that the ones Erin's taking care of. Now, here's the million-dollar question. Why would anybody get rid of the best dogs in the world? We pulled, I think it's 5 or 6 down there in the last couple of months. And literally, I guess I must have a knack for this, where I looked at photos of dogs on death row, dogs who were going to be euthanized within 24 hours or less, and I looked at the photos and can look at the dog and tell what kind of dog it is, and I pulled these dogs. And with Erin and Dr. Ray's help, we have gotten all these dogs back to good health, and these dogs will all become service dogs for special needs children. The bloodhound mix, I think Denver, we're probably going to turn into a cancer detection dog to help us with evaluating and determining if any of our wonderful firefighters or arson investigators who we work with through Firefighter Cancer Foundation, if we'll be able to do cancer screening, mental screening. And these dogs that we rescued, that if we hadn't rescued, would have been dead. And yes, I don't believe in rehoming. I believe in you made a commitment, keep the commitment, or if you have to get rid of the dog, you find someone you trust and you make sure that you do right by that dog, because there is going to be a reckoning someday. And I know that a lot of people out there aren't going to go up, and they're going to go down because of some of the things they've done. You can't just have no responsibility to these dogs. I mean, let's face it. These dogs who we are working with all started out in shelters and rescues. You heard the one dog, was it Denver, had parvo. We had another one of them that had, what was the other one? One of them had something else too, Erin. What did the other one have?
They get upper respiratory infections really bad.
Upper respiratory, parvo, and then didn't somebody have, wasn't somebody positive for heartworms?
Oh, yeah. I think Samuel has heartworms.
Right. So, you know, but these dogs...
Oh, and Denver. Denver has heartworms, too.
Okay.
Down here, heartworms is crazy.
Again, why? Because people don't put their dogs on some kind of heartworm preventative. I mean, it's crazy. So... we'll get these dogs all healed up and healthy, and we'll bring them up to probably to New Jersey or possibly Missouri, or keep a couple of them down with Erin and Stevie, and we're getting different facilities. By the way, if you're listening and you have a farm or a few acres of land anywhere in the country and you're interested in donating it, we are a 501c3. We can accept the donations. You can remove it from your taxes, or you can let us work on the property, and we'll fix it all up and use it to train dogs and to be able to help children with special needs. You know, we do all this all free of charge for families. So if you can help us, if you know somebody who's got a farm or a plot of land and they really don't do anything with it, or perhaps an elderly person who doesn't want to leave his or her farm, but, you know, can't stay there alone, we'll have one of our amazing people from Merlin's Kids and UnitedCanineProfessionals.com, and we will take care of that elderly person so you can stay on your farm, and then someday long in the distance, you know, we can maybe purchase it, or we can, you know, work something out. But there are just so many chunks of land as I drive around through Denver and through in and out of Colorado and Georgia and all these areas. You get outside of New Jersey, even New Jersey has tons of land. So, you know, if you have that, let us know, because we want to help you and you can help us. You can help us rescue more great dogs, like the ones you've heard about, you can help more of the children who need, you know, special needs children and veterans who need free service dogs. And it's expensive. I love Aaron and Dr. Ray, but you know what? These things cost money, and everything costs money. So when we spay or neuter, even though it's a lower price, we get discounts in certain places. You know, you've still got, you know, thousands of dollars to raise a dog and to get them over these illnesses. And even if they don't have illnesses, just transportation, buying crates, feeding them, making, you know, buying their vitamins, making sure they're healthy. This all takes money. And, you know, that's where we get it. We get it from, well, you know, I work and fix aggressive dogs for a living. And who knows, somebody there who's listening right now might be interested in rehabilitating dogs with behavioral issues. You don't have to do the big, bad, scary dogs like I do, but you can take care of some of these dogs who are in less than perfect conditions or have behavioral issues. And you can contact us at UnitedK9Professionals.com or call us at 855, the number 4K, the number 9, PROS, P-R-O-S, and you can figure out a new career, a new way to learn, and a new way to help. We will be right back with our final segment on From Shelter Dog to Service Dog. Hang on.
Share the incredible process of shelter dogs whose lives are saved and are saving the lives of special needs children.
For your dogs, running beside your bike is more rewarding canine exercise than any walk. It's also more dangerous. Until now, introducing the amazingly stable Bike Toe Leash, the only safe dog biking attachment approved by the American Pet Association. The Bike Toe Leash installs in seconds on bikes, trikes, power chairs, and mobility scooters. No tools needed, and dogs learn it immediately. With a Bike Toe Leash, both dogs and rider can enjoy fun recreation anywhere, no matter what your ability level. To learn more and order your Bike Toe Leash, visit BikeToeLeash.com. That's BikeToeLeash.com. Bike Toe Leashes are made in the USA and ship worldwide. That website again is BikeToeLeash.com.
Share the incredible process of shelter dogs whose lives are saved and are saving the lives of special needs children.
And welcome back to From Shelter Dog to Service Dog with Janice Wolf. Well, we're talking about different health issues and how vaccines can save lives. Also, another very interesting thing is this past week I was at the SAVMA conference with my good friend and intern, the future Dr. Jody Joseph, who's up in Hoth, up at Cornell in Ithaca, New York, where it is bitter cold even in the summer and really never turns summer-like, but we had a great time. We learned so much about various screening and types of radiosurgeries and different types of illnesses and how dogs get cancers and how to treat them. And we learned about neurology and radiology and cytology and learned new blood draw techniques and all kinds of really awesome stuff. And you can check out all the things we do on Facebook on Merlin's Kids, and on UnitedK9Professionals.com and UnitedK9Professionals on Facebook. And, you know, there's just so many different aspects of this. And you know what's really sad is that for a few dollars, all of the dogs who we just rescued wouldn't have had any of those issues. It's just so sad. And another thing that's really sad is spay and neuter. If you have a mixed breed dog or you have a purebred dog who is not a champion, grand champion, yada, 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 and is not the best representative of its breed, please spay and neuter. I'm going to put Aaron on the spot, and I'm going to ask Aaron, how many roughly, let's say out of the dogs that you've taken, about what percentage of males are not neutered and of females are not spayed, and how many puppies do you think are born from the average female that you see come in at 7 or 8 years of age How many puppies do you think she might have had because she wasn't spayed?
Fortunately for us, I would say that the amount of dogs that we don't have that are fixed that come through the clinic is very low. I'd probably say 10%. We don't see many intact dogs because we're not really out far in the country, and we're also not in Clayton County. Fayetteville Animal Hospital is in Fayette County, where the clientele is a little bit different. So fortunately for us, you know, our odds are not very big. Now, when I was at Sonoya, at the other animal hospital, we were out more out in the country. I would probably say about 40 to 50% of the dogs were not fixed. And on average, I would probably say, you know, your typical Labrador Retriever has 7 to 10 puppies a litter. They have 2 litters a year. That's a lot of puppies.
Right. And remember also, you know, these aren't people who are breeding, you know, the best dogs in the world. You know, it's funny. I had a little discussion yesterday with someone who said, well, you know, what do you have against mixed breed dogs? I said, I have nothing against mixed breed dogs, but what I do have against mixed breed dogs is the people who bred them for money or who were too inept or stupid or whatever we want to say to just spay and neuter them. Now, you don't want to spay and neuter really early. I know a lot of the shelters and rescue groups have to do that because you have no control otherwise, but it really is best if you can wait until they're about a year old, unless you have a behavioral or health issue that dictates otherwise. Because unfortunately, a lot of times, you know, the female go into heat at 9 or 10 months, and now she gets pregnant. So I understand that. But if you do buy a good purebred dog, you definitely don't want to spay or neuter it, and make sure you're keeping careful, too. So you really don't want to spay or neuter it until it goes through its first heat cycle. This way, you know, all the hormones are in there. But when you get into places like the ones that Aaron is talking about, some of these dogs, you know, they might have had, I know I saw a dog, and it was this woman who's horrible. She rescued it's a golden retriever, I'll leave it at that, female from a rescue. The rescue did not spay the female for them, and unfortunately, when they spayed this female, she was, you know, she had already had a number of litters. So what had happened was she had, first of all, at least she had 2 litters a year, and she's got all these different stuff going on. So now she takes this female golden retriever who's not spayed, and she goes out and she buys at a pet store, a standard poodle male. So she now has this great, brilliant idea that she's going to breed this standard poodle male to this golden retriever that she got from a rescue.
So they can have golden doodles.
And that's what she did. Well, every one of these litters that she had, 2 litters a year, had 3 or 4 of the 8 or 10 puppies who had megaesophagus. Now, for you who don't know out there in radio land, these dogs with megaesophagus typically die. They aspirate. It's not even like aspirating. It's drowning. It is the worst thing. And this woman who was breeding this golden to a, you know, and obviously the dog was not a breeding quality dog. And I don't even know if it was purebred golden. This poor female had been bred and bred and bred. And after the 3rd or 4th litter where the dog had puppies with megaesophagus, the rescue finally decided that they should maybe talk to this woman who was giving them these puppies, who maybe 1 out of 3 would make it. They said, well, you know, maybe you shouldn't be breeding. Guess what happened? She, of course, is still going to be breeding, but what does she do? Well, now she doesn't bring the puppies to the rescue anymore. So, you know, it's just such a sad thing because you don't realize what's going on. Aaron, have you seen a lot of puppies with health issues and genetic issues down in Georgia where you see, like, people just don't spay or neuter?
You see a lot of, the biggest thing you see is, like, genetic allergies. Like, you know, a lot of your lab people are like, well, I have labs that run rampant down here. And so, you know, I have a lab and you have a lab, well, let's breed them. And so you end up with a lot of allergy problems, and then what people don't realize is I can't fix allergies. We manage them, and then they get ugly about it, and then that's how those dogs end up in the pound. You see a lot of pit bulls with Demodex mange. A lot of them that we pull out of Clayton County have no hair and skin infections from the mites, which is not contagious to other dogs, but it is a genetic thing.
And it's the same with the immune system. You get Demodex in a lot mm-hmm. of larger litters or litters where there's poor nutrition or a very young mother who didn't have enough nutrition to nurse her
right.
babies. Yeah.
Right. And then we do have a lady that has a couple German Shepherds, but she's had two or three puppies with megaesophagus from the same breeder. Why she keeps going back to the same breeder, I'm not really sure. And those three puppies we did end up having to let go at a fairly young ages because, like you said, they don't just get aspirated pneumonia. They end up drowning. They can't. It's terrible. We've had a couple of litters born from females out of Clayton County where we get them pregnant, and we've had a few of them that the puppies are just not growing right. They all have neurologic problems.
Failure.
We don't
thrive.
Know why.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. So it is. It's really sad. You see, you know, we see a lot more with these rescue dogs than you typically see in your normal given day. We learn a lot, but it's sad.
It is
because
sad.
All of this really need to happen.
It is so sad, and unfortunately, that's it for our show today. We have been broadcasting live from the lobby of the Castle Marne here in Denver, Colorado, and you can actually. Contact them at castlemarne.com. What an amazing place and how gracious they've been. Well, next week, I don't know where we're going to be, but I know we'll be in Indianapolis soon, and we're so grateful to have Erin Moore, who's been with us as our guest today, and we will definitely have Erin on again to give us the progress of our Merlin's Kids dogs and some other things. And we welcome you to come back again next week and listen to us on From Shelter Dog to Service Dog. Good night.
Learn how to teach your dog how to be a service dog.